אנחנו קוראים בספר תלמוד עשר הספירות כרך
We are reading from the study of the Ten Sefirot, volume 1, part 3. Reading from Or Yashar, Or Chozer. We are on chapter 9, the Ari, item 7.
כותרת הבריאה.
Go ahead. Title Biriya is called Guf because she receives from Atzilut as a Guf from a Neshama. Item 7. Now you can understand the words of our sages, his wife is like his own body. Briya is the wife of Atzilut, for they are Chochma and Bina. Even though there are Neshamot in Briya as well, the Gufot are named after the Neshamot of Atzilut. It is so, because as the wife receives from her husband, so the Guf receives from the Neshama. Our sages also said, a Bait, a home, is but a wife. This is in Asiya, because Asiya is the home and the Hechal, the palace, to all five Bechinot. Asiya is the wife of Yetzira. This is the meaning of a Bait is but a wife, a house is but a wife, referring to Asiya. It is so in the phase of Asiya in each and every world, it is called the Bait, the house of the Olam. And the phase of Briya in every world is called Guf of that same world. Yes. Next. Item 8, the Ari. The title is Another Way, the Orot in Ak, meaning the Neshamot in it, are called Yechida. The Neshamot of Atzilut are called Chaya, and the Neshamot of Briya are called Neshamot. The Neshamot of Yetzira are called Ruach, and the Neshamot of Asiya are called Nefesh. Item 8. Yes, item 8. If we want, we can take a different path. All the Orot of Ak are called Yechida. And the lights, Orot of Atzilut, are called Chaya. The lights of Briya are called Neshama. And the lights of Yetzira are Ruach. The lights of Asiya are Nefesh. Next, item 9, with a title, it is similar in Gufim and Levushim, in Hechalot, in Ak and Abia. The Gufim in Ak are Yechida de Gufim de Abia, and in Atzilut, Chaya, etc. It is similar in Levushim, in clothings. The clothing of Ak are Yechida of the Levushim of Abia. And the clothings of Atzilut are the Chaya of the Levushim of the clothings of Ak and Bia, etc. Item 9. It is similar in the clothing in all the worlds and the Gufot and the Hechalot. All of the clothings of Ak are the highest clothing of all five clothings. And all the clothings of Atzilut are the second clothing, etc.
Ot Yud?
Item 10? Yes. Title, Shangela are Yechida Chaya Neshama Ruach Neshama, meaning the lights of Kachabtu. Item 10. This is the first path because the Nefesh is called Heichal. Ruach Levush Neshama Guf Chaya Neshama. And Yechida, the root of the Neshama. Thus, all the above is in every single world specifically. How so? The light of Keter of Atzilut is called the root of Neshama, and also is called Yechida. The light of Chochmah of Atzilut is called Neshama to Neshama, and also is called Chaya. The light of Bina of Atzilut is called Guf and is also called Neshama. The light of Tiferet of Atzilut is called Levush and is also called Ruach. The light of Malchut of Atzilut is called Nefesh and is also called Heichal. It is the same inside every specific item too.
Yes, I don't see questions in the meantime. Or maybe it's not clear, maybe everything is clear. Not known.
There are questions.
There are questions. Okay, PT19.
Where he says the light of Chokhmah of Atzilut is called Neshama to Neshama. What is Neshama?
Neshama is the upper light that usually is clothed in a vessel of Bina.
Is it divided? It says the light of is called Neshama and it's called Gufa and it's called Neshama. What is this thing here of the separations of the Neshamot? Are they different kinds?
It depends in what vessels of Bina is this light revealed in.
Which means
that the vessel of Bina reveals a light called Neshama. But it may be this Bina can be in many places, in many shapes, and then the light that of Bina that it shows, it reveals accordingly a different light.
So why did you say the light of Tiferet of Atzilut is called clothing and the light of Atzilut is called Nefesh? What's this division here?
Because it's clear to us that Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida are revealed according to the vessels. Keter, Chochma, Bina, Zerat, Bin, Malchut. There is nothing new here.
Is this called... I don't know how to ask it. Is this called... Saga in Neshama? How can this be explained?
Well, sorry about it, but yeah, you'll get the explanation, but not now. Kiev 1.
He describes here the same structure for all of the world. He just calls it differently.
Oh, this is something Kabbalists do many times. Yes, they return these rules time and again because they want to emphasize these are the rules that exist everywhere. And they don't care that they talked about it a few times already. You'll see this with Baal HaSulam. You can see dozens of times he repeats but there's an inverse value of the vessels and vessels and lights, and he starts explaining it again and again.
We learn the same part, so he's repeating that so he can be included.
You should understand how important it is and how inclusive it is. Yes, Dudi.
We're continuing. Item 11, the Ari. This is the title. Each sefira of Kachab, Tumin, Ak, and Abiya is divided into five Bchinot Shangila. Item 11. Indeed, the medium rule, the shortest of all of this, the shortest of all is this. All 10 sefirot of Atzilut and Keter 2 contain the root Neshama to Neshama, Guf Levush Echal. It is the same in Bia and in Ak as well, being the root of the entire Abia.
If there are no questions, we'll move on. Meaning, this is how he divides Keter Chokma Bina and Bin Malchut and the light Yechida Chaya Neshama Ruach Nefesh. Right. Next.
Item 12, title Ak and Abia are five phases in the name Haveya, intermingled with each other. Each of them contains Ak and Abia, which are the five Bchinot, the five phases in Haveya, and are Shangela, which are 25 Bchinot. Item 12. You find that all that was emanated is but one Havaya containing five phases, which are the tip of the Yud in Ak, the Yud in Atzilut, He in Bria, Vav in Yetzira, and He in Asiya. Each of these Prinot contains all five, because the tip of the Yud in Ak contains one Havaya of the other five Prinot, the other five phases. These are the above five phases in Ak itself, which are Ak and Abia in him. Being the five phases, those are Shoresh, Neshama, Guf, Levush, and Heichal. The Yod of Atzilut also has one Havaya, containing all the above five phases. Likewise, in all the Otiyot in Bia, there are five Otiyot, where each contains all the others, amounting to 25 phases.
No.
Hala. Ot Yud Gimel.
Next. Item 13, title each of the above 25 phases is divided into five other prinot of Shangela, and each of those contain 10 sefirot. Each sefira is then divided into five partsufim, which are Shangela.
Meaning everything divides into five, and all these any one of these five is divided into five more, and that's how creation is until it reaches a sphere where we're all incorporated in everyone else. Yes.
Item 13, the Ari. Afterwards, in this above manner, there is another general. Each of them consists of all 25 phases. It is so because the Yud of Atzilut has one Havaya containing all five phases, and each phase of the five consists of another five. They are 10 Sfirot of Shoresh, 10 Sfirot Neshama, 10 Sfirot of Guf, 10 Sfirot Levush, and 10 Sfirot Heichal. Similarly, the tip of the Yud of Ak contains 10 in Atzilut, and likewise in the letter He in Beria, the letter Vav in Yetira, etc. Thus, in short, Ak is the tip of the Yod. It contains one Havaya, which in turn contains five Prinot, Shoresh, Neshama, Guf, Levush, and Eichal. Each of these Prinot contains another five, which are 10 Sfirot of Shoresh, 10 Sfirot of Neshama, 10 Sfirot of Guf, 10 Sfirot Levush, and 10 Sfirot Eichal. Each Sefira of these 10 Sefirot consists of five Partsufim, namely Shoresh and Abia.
Questions. Friends, you have to picture this system to yourselves. It has to be clear to you that all in all, there's nothing here. We've learned things much more complicated. You have the entire creation is five parts, just as we have in the five parts of Malchut Ein Sof, right? Keter Chochma Binah Zeran Bin Malchut, or root 1, 2, 3, and 4, and we learn that later. Each of them divides into five more and five more and five more until Ein Sof. And the names that are given, they're also the same names every place. A person has legs and hands, and the animals also have their legs and their hands, and the bugs have, everyone has. Because humanity is divided into five parts, we give the same names, and yet there is nothing to be confused about it. It's a pretty simple structure. Our problems start when we're about to attain these connections. Then we have to integrate with the upper forces, the forces of the Creator, so He can add these parts to these parts, these desires to those desires, to make tens out of them, and in these tens to discover the Creator, and then we can start understanding where we are. So that between us, there's at least one small structure of 10 sefirot, or 10 desires, when these desires should be connected in a style where the Creator can be revealed in them, at least in the light of Nefesh, meaning the smallest. But there's a system already. In this system, the Creator exists in, even in the smallest shape. But out of that, we can start learning it, researching it, relating to it. That's what we need. No more? Okay. Fine. Nikolaev Sochi.
Раф, вот все понятно, однако вот сначала говорится пять.
Раф, everything is clear, but In the beginning, he says five phases, which divide into five more phases. That's clear. And then the division to 10 begins. Where is that same point where it goes from 5 to 10, or what's built of what? I always miss that.
It doesn't matter if it's 5 or 10. It depends how you count. Usually we say 5. And we say 10 because we want to also emphasize having Zeranpin there, but inside it, there aren't all the Bchinot, but only Vak. Meaning if in Keter, Chochmah, Binah, and Malchut, these four Bchinot, except for Zeranpin, that's who it is. Keter, Chochmah, Binah, and Malchut, each of them has 10 Sfirot. So in Zeranpin, there are only 6 Vak. 6. That's why we emphasize it. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod. That it has these things. Not having Gar, Keter, Chochma, Bina. It doesn't have. That's why we say it this way.
That's clear, but when we're talking about five bechinot, five phases, sometimes we say four phases of direct light. It depends from what aspect we look. When we talk about ten sefirot, then we never take into account into keter.
Yes, that's right. But so what? It doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. The structure doesn't change. It depends what you want to emphasize or what's more comfortable for you to say. No. You'll see there's no confusion here. That's how Kabbalists are used to talk. Their language is short. In spirituality, there are no words at all. There are no names. This is how Kabbalists invented out of the root and branch. Usually they take names from our world. And sticking them to spiritual phenomena.
Meaning there's some kind of meaning that we can't grasp. They says 5 or 10 would be much simpler if it was all divided to 10.
That's true, but if you're talking in an abbreviated way, it's more easier to talk about 5. Every time you talk about 10, it's too much. Kabbalists like to make their language short. That's how it is. PT-33.
Thank you, Rav. We learn that there is development from above down, and in the ending paragraph, it's like he mixed up this order. Is that correct, or is it just some confusion I have?
Sometimes they do that, according to the direct light, according to the reflected light. That's true. Let's move on to the next part.
Moving on to chapter 10.
Yes.
Title is explained that Levush and Heichal were separated from Shoresh, Neshama, and Guf and became Akifim, surroundings, and also the explanations of Ak, Abia, Narnach, and Ab, Sag, Mabon contains 8 issues.
What is he trying to tell us? We have Keter, Chochmah, Binah, Zeranpin, Malchut. Right? So he's saying we have within it Shorosh, Neshama, Guf. They exist together and they coexist, and Levush and Lechal are separate. There's a partition between the first three, Shorosh, Neshama, Guf, and between Levush and Lechal. Just like I'm here, right? This is my body, my flesh. This is my body. So this is Shorosh, Neshama, and Guf. But besides that, there is Levush, which is clothing, and there is Heichal, which is the building I'm in, the walls. Where does that stem from, this principle? There are animals that they have no clothing, they have no house. Some have it on themselves, some animals. So we want to scrutinize, where does it come from? Why is it so? It's very important for our soul to scrutinize the soul. So, Shosh, Neshama, Guf are attached to each other, and Levush and Nechal are separated. We're separated from them. Item 1.
Item 1.
Da.
know that Shoresh Neshama Gufot adhesive with each other. Levush and Heichal were separated from them. To Shoresh Neshama Guf or inner Kalim, where the more external is worse. Levush and Heichalak are Kalim Akifim, surroundings, where the greater the Chisaron is, the more important. Again, item one. Now we should speak in the matter of every world and its matter. You should know that Shoresh, Neshama, and Gufot, and Gufim are one. There's no separation between them. That there is no separation between them, but the Levushim and the Hechalot are as two separated Prinot from the above three Prinot. Between these two, meaning between the Gufim and the Levushim, there is the Mador Klipot, which actually cling to the anchor of the light of the Guf.
Is this clear? There is a person where there is Shoresh, Neshama, and Guf, and if there is a clothing, and on him there is a house. So Shoresh, Neshama, Guf, between his body and his clothing, there are klipot. That's what he says. Why? What for? Where? Well, we'll learn all that. That's what he's saying. And between these two, between the gufim, the bodies, and the levushim, the clothing, there's the mador klipot, where they actually cling to the posterior of the guf. Yes.
Inner light. Know that the Shoresh, Neshama, and Guf are one. There is a profound and notable matter in these words of the Ari. This is the meaning of the second restriction that occurred in the Hidak, brought in the words of the Ari, that the second restriction is about the association of Midat HaRachamim with Midat HaDin that our sages wrote of. You can understand that matter thoroughly in my book, Panim Masbirot, but here we shall be brief. The thing is that only the fourth phase of the four above phases is called Midat Hadin, judgment, because the first restriction was on her alone. I've shown in previous lessons that there was no restriction in the first three phases, for which they were called Midot HaRachamim. However, in the second restriction of Ak, there was a connection and association of the fourth phase with the second phase. As it's written, so they too went, because Malchut and Zeranpin came up to Binah. Thus, Midat HaDin, the matter of judgment, which is the fourth phase, is sweetened in Midat HaRachamim, in the quality of mercy, being the second phase. In that way, in the first restriction, only the fourth phase was restricted, and in the second restriction, Bina was restricted too, due to her bonding with Malchut. This occurred in Nehi De'ak, from its Tabur downward. Consequently, these 10 Sefirot that emerged by the association with Midat HaDin are called Olam Anikudim, after the ascent of Malchut, which is called Nekuda, point. For that reason, it is considered that in the above Olam Nikudim, Zeranpin and Malchut were separated from the four Bchinot Chubtum. It is so because the fourth phase rose to the place of Binah and became a Masach there. As a result, the upper light stopped at Malchut in Binah and did not expand to Zeranpin, called Levush, and to Malchut, called Heichal, as they are below Binah. This is why the Rav writes, know that the Shoresh and the Neshamot and the Gufim are one phase. there is no separation between them, but the Levushim and the Heichalot are as two separated phases from the above three phases. It means that because of the screen that was erected at the margins of Bina, the light stopped there. From there onwards, the upper light does not reach the Pnimiut of Zeranpin and the Malchuyot in all the worlds. As a result, they all came out to become surrounding vessels, meaning receiving the light from afar, as the upper light cannot clothe inside them anymore. The clothing is the vessel for the surrounding light of Chaya, and the Heichal is the vessel for the surrounding light of Yechida. Now you see that these Zeranpin and Malchut in the four Pchinot in all the worlds from the world of Nikudim downward are regarded as Zeranpin and Malchut of the inner Bina. The upper light clothes their Pnimiyot, their internality as well, through the general Zeranpin and Malchut below Bina. They were separated from the inner Kelim, from the inner vessels, where the Neshama, Ruach, Nefesh of the inner light clothed. And they became the Kelim Makifim, the surrounding vessels of Chaya and Yechida.
PT6.
Hear me?
Yes.
The first surrounding light that it came, where did it come from? Where did it come of?
The first surrounding light emerged in Tzimtzum Aleph, in the first restriction. Why?
Where it came from.
Okay. We're learning that there are inner lights and there are surrounding lights. Basically, everything has to be internal light, inner light, if we had the screen. But because we don't have the screens to receive all the light in order to bestow, the surplus of the light is outside. That's why in the first restriction there was already a division between inner light and surrounding light.
And the surrounding light is?
There's a lot about it. In the fourth part of tests we'll learn, there are 20 different kinds of surrounding lights. Even more than, many more than 20, but he is giving examples of more than 10. I don't remember exactly how many. There are many lights and surrounding lights. Their spirituality is very, very complex. And what we receive from Kabbalists, this is what we learn. Do you think they're writing everything to you? They can't even write 1% of what exists in the spiritual world, because you can't express it in our language. Our language is so limited that you can also see how many generations have passed from Adam HaRishon, from the Ari, until Baal HaSulam and Rabash. When they were capable to somehow express spiritual phenomena in corporeal words, so that we can read about them and by them speak a little bit about it. It's very difficult. You're translating from one language to another one. Your language of the emotion, the language of the soul, to a language of egoistic corporeal actions. Yes.
The surrounding light that came into Tzimtzum Aleph, this is the light that influences us, that's working with us or not?
On us, yes, the surrounding lights are working, are influencing us. But is it the same light he's talking here? Of course not. We are getting some influence from a higher degree through these surrounding lights. We don't attain it yet, so it affects externally through the surrounding light. Okay?
Kiev.
Good. Kiev.
Да, дорогой Раф, вот если мы возьмем наше объединение в десятке, как вот кли, то оно тоже может разделиться вот.
Раф, if we take this connection in the ten, which is a kli, can that kli also be divided into five parts? Root.
No.
Root, soul, garment, no. Body, whole, etc.
No. How can that be? Shosh, neshama, guf are vessels that are in contact between themselves and the light. That's why shosh, neshama, guf are the parts of the vessel that are ready to receive inside, within them, a fulfillment in order to bestow. That's why what spreads there is the light of nefesh, ruach, neshama, and the vessels that are Gimel and Dalet of Aviyot, of coarseness, are disconnected from the inner vessels, Shosh Neshama Guf, because they can't work in order to bestow in the Patsuf. That's why they remain as surrounding vessels, external ones. And against them works the light that cannot enter. It's called the surrounding light. Meaning we have three inner vessels, Keter Chochma Bina. These are the three inner vessels in which there are lights, nefesh, ruach, neshama. This is why the innermost vessel inside it, we call it neshama, because that's the maximal light we can receive in us in order to bestow. And lights that belong to the vessel of Zeranpin and Malchut are outside, because we can't work with the vessel of Zeranpin and Malchut in order to bestow. This is why these lights are as surrounding lights until the final correction. And in the final correction, we will also receive in the vessel of Zeranpin and Malchut, and then we won't call our inner vessel where we reveal the Creator by the name Neshama, but we'll call it in the name Yechida. For we will attain the light of Yechida.
Что значит, что мы в нашей работе вот работаем и фокусируемся только вот на трех вот этих высших?
What does it mean that in our work we focus only on those same three lights?
We can work with them in our screens in order to bestow, and the vessels, Zeran Pin and Malchut, we can only add. Only to a certain extent we can add them to us without their screens. That's why the light of Chaya and Yechida don't exist in us. They only illuminate a little bit. They give illumination.
We need to move on to a few questions. We're towards the end of the lesson.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm asking now from the social team. We've been hearing you for the last few days, well actually for years, talking about reading the articles of Rabash, the first 20 articles that talk about the social aspect. What's the importance of reading this daily?
If it's not daily, so how? For me, it's a law. Every day I go over two articles by Rabash. Sometimes more. Because the articles of Rabash usually is 3 pages. So you can go over it maybe 15 minutes for an article. Just read it. So half an hour, you can read two articles. And half, another half an hour, you can read two more articles. And this way you can read usually 4 articles, not every day, because sometimes you have, maybe it's Saturday, you have something else to do, and maybe on Saturday we have this afternoon lesson, so I don't have, maybe I won't read there or another article by Rabash. And I have it, it's to read afternoon. That's all.
We finished reading the Rabash article, what, we start from the beginning?
You finished? To finish all of them, you need to dedicate maybe 2 years for that.
You're talking not just about the first 20 articles, all of them.
Of course, of course. From the beginning, and on and on and on. Read all these articles.
Okay, now there's also a question. Is it important to read it in the 10, each one with himself, or there'll be a reader that will read, or I'll listen to it, or what?
But it's important that there is someone who reads it, and a few people connect and hear it.
So it doesn't need to be in the 10.
It's actually best if it is in the 10. And by that, we connect more, understand each other more. We're being cooked under one light of Rabash and his approach, etc.
Today we meet about 3 times a day.
3 times a day?
Yes, for 10 minutes. That's how it is in my 10, for 10 minutes. But this is how it is. Usually meet for short times, 12, 5, 8 p.m. And every time we read an excerpt as much as we can in 10 minutes in rotation, we finish, we continue in the next meeting. Is that okay? Or should we read an article from the beginning to end?
An article will take you 15 minutes.
The short ones.
No, an article is usually 15 minutes. Well, there are articles of 40 pages. Some of the articles he didn't stop himself. He just wrote. But, we'll reach them. We'll discuss it.
Is it preferable? We can change the order of the times of the 10. Can we do it once a day and do it?
I didn't decide how to meet for you. You decided. I don't know when you meet for 15 minutes. I am in a 10 that meets twice a day for half an hour. And within this half an hour, we read 2 articles. So for us, usually, we have 4 articles a day.
Another question. If a 10 wants to scrutinize the articles...
No, it's best if you don't. There's nothing to scrutinize. You just hear it together, connect around an article. We want to hear Rabash so that he will be heard in the connection between us.
So there's no room for a workshop, what I understood, what you understood?
No. Usually it's clear. When you start connecting, you'll see that everything is clear, what he writes in the article. Just to do it. Doing it is a problem. But besides that, no.
What about the morning lesson? Many tens want to hear something from the morning lesson. Talk about it, or at least be included of the lesson.
There is a real need, I would say even a necessity, to hear my words before the lesson. You know, sometimes what I say before the lesson, sometimes I talk half an hour, maybe it's too much and I'll try to talk less. But what I say before the lesson is usually what's important for us, for all of us, for the whole world. Yes. It's usually about the manners of connection.
So to start off listening to the main thing we heard in the morning lesson,
that's the main thing. And then the articles by Rabash.
How should we read the article? Is it one reader or every friend will read?
Whoever can read in the right pace and in the right accent, he should read. So we won't have some obstacle there.
Okay.
So we'll get a good impression.
You said that you read...
In the beginning of the lesson, I give some like an opening to the lesson, right? So this is something you should hear. It has nothing to do with the article itself. It's not a rabash. It's what I said before the lesson for that day.
Okay.
Okay, another question. Isn't it better that also friends that don't read that well also will read and be part of it?
They should look at the letters and they should learn how to read along with the one who reads.
כשאנחנו נפגשים פעם בשבוע בין עשיריות.
When we meet once a week among tens, we have one gathering on Wednesday where a few tens in the world get together for a connection. Is that in that time should we also read Rabash articles?
Whatever you want, I don't determine it here. You whatever you want, you should see what's the most connecting thing between you.
Is the content of the evening lesson? We'll be resuming our evening lessons. Should the content also talk about Rabash, Rabash articles?
I don't know. Let's hear Shai first. What's this evening lesson you want to determine? I didn't talk about it. Yes?
We're going back to the evening lesson format. At 6 p.m. we watch a recorded part of the lesson until 7. And then for half an hour we have a workshop live that's hosted by Friends from the World Clay. Now the direction that we got from you is that the first hour is basically broadcasting from the morning lesson, and then we'll do a workshop on that from 7 to 7:30.
Oh boy, you have so many things to do. Such a packed day. It's really sacred. So twice a day you read articles, and then later you go over half of the first half of the lesson, morning lesson. Well, that's, I have nothing to say about that. It's, may you have the strength to do all that.
Our questions, is it okay to ask in the morning lesson about things we read from Rabash?
Yes, I agree to that.
What to do if a lot of impressions and excitement awakens from reading Rabash, but there's no time to share these impressions?
It doesn't matter. This impression is working already. It's strengthening you. It's connecting you. You'll feel how much it works. Talking and philosophizing. Rabash too didn't really like them. He didn't relate to them. Let the light do the work.
Question about daily summary. You said that we should do a daily summary before we go to sleep.
No, if you are having in the morning a lesson, twice a day you read articles of Rabash, and in the evening another lesson with a summary, well then, there's nothing more. It's all, anyway, it's very loaded, heavily loaded this day.
Two things. First of all, do we stop doing workshops during the day because there's no time to speak, only to listen?
I think you can, but make it very short and practical. Don't give people the time to philosophize. Only if I really have something to add to the words of the friends. And shortly, in a way, it's clear to us.
How to read the Rabash articles?
Read it.
יש לנו את קבוצת UK שיש להם עוד כמה שאלות על ההכנה דהכנה לשיעור. בבקשה, זה גם בנושא.
UK, about the preparation.
שלום רב, בוקר טוב לכולם. אנחנו מייצגים את הצוות הכנה לשיעור.
Hello Rav, we're representing the preparation for the lesson team. We have a question about preparing for preparation. Today most of the tens meet already at 2:30 a.m. Israel time for a 15-minute preparation before our general preparation. We wanted to ask advice from Rav. What is the best way to use that time where every ten prepares itself for the lesson?
What moves you the most? What makes you more... emotional. I see that in this emotion, there is room for singing. When we hear a song, you should choose a few songs that affect everyone and are moving for everyone. Maybe without words, maybe with words, whatever you want. You should agree about that. That's one thing. Another thing is that there are such psalms or other parts of articles by Bala Sulam or Rabash that are really emotional. That's what I think we should do. Make a file out of it, prepare it and post it in the internet somewhere, and so that anyone, whenever he wants to read or to you can like drink it from it and enjoy it.
Just understand, when tens meet 15 minutes before the preparation, there we should not read Rabash, but things that are more awakening.
Maybe from Rabash as well. It may be from Rabash or Psalms or maybe Baal Sulam or Zohar. All kinds of such are authentic sources.
If we're learning within my people I dwell, so we should read those excerpts.
You can also go over the excerpts we prepare for the morning lesson that day. What we're going to read in the morning lesson.
Another question is dividing twice a day, like you read, is that the correct way that we should aim for?
I don't know. I just joined a group that reads these things. That's how it turned out. Besides, you understand that I cannot limit them and to do it the other way. Otherwise, you know, you're with the writers when I meet you and all kinds of people. 10 till 12 a.m. usually I'm busy. Sometimes half an hour before or after. And besides that, there's twice with a group to hear the words of Rabash. I don't have the time where I can say I have free time.
The question is, can every 10 decide what time they want, what length of the meeting, yes. When, etc.?
Yes, of course. Just, you have to agree about it, all of you.
Okay. What about the weekly 10s gathering, where the 10 gets together for about an hour for a connection?
This is something that can be instead of reading an article.
Talk, discuss, etc.
Yes, you can do that. Do you do this live?
Some get together according to the regulations of the Ministry of Health, and some get together on Zoom.
Okay, let's hope that soon it will be physically.
Let's hope.
I really hope that soon we can even come back over here.
עוד שאלות שיש, רגע. מה ההבדל בין...
More questions. What's the difference between 2:30 to 2:45, the 15 minutes preparation before the broadcasted preparation and the actual preparation?
I don't know. You should see what's better for you in order to be ready for the lesson. So it will be sufficient awakening, upliftment, importance, what for and how we attain the goal. Everything should already be placed in your heart.
What do we talk about at the end of the lesson? The lesson summary.
How happy we are for being in such a big group in all over the world. There is no other group that even resembles our group. And we're trying to realize the plan of creation between us. And we're really thankful to Baal Sulam and Rabash. And after them, of course, the upper force for taking care of us this way.
That's it, thank you.
That's it. Okay, so good luck and let's hear info finally. Where is he gone?
I'm here waiting for the signal. Okay, we'll start broadcasting at 10 a.m. Simon Vinokur together with Rav Lightman, and then Oren Levy with Rav Lightman at 10:30 to 11. And as we heard, we'll get together to watch the recorded lesson 6 to 7 p.m. Israel time. And then we'll have a workshop with our friends from the World Clear that we'll be hosting live from 7 to 7:30 p.m. Israel time.
We will become together as one. We'll be forever connected. Всю силу любви хотим обрести, объединившись навеки. ולא חשוב מה שקורה בחוץ, כי העיקר נמצא בינינו. Cuando nos unimos juntos, nuestro amor gobernará. Любовь к нам придет скорей. Эй, эй, de corazones unidos. Рак и Ава, Ошер поэль бакли. Эй, эй, rise above and feel the love inside. Эй, эй, пускай любовь к нам придет скорей. Эй, эй, de corazones unidos. Рак и Ава, Ошер поэль бакли. Ота משפחה, ота הרגשה. The higher we go, reaching our soul, we will reveal that connection. Не важно, что там происходит вокруг, а важна связь между друзьями. Я un capares, como un malestar, nuestra actitud controlará.